which did serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We have an altar. I hope we have. I trust we have. I certainly do hope that we have. We have an altar. The word altar itself in the Hebrew stems from a root word that involves sacrifice. I don't know exactly how Abel offered his sacrifice. It was more pleasing to God than Cain's. The Bible doesn't go into detail on it. And we don't know just how those before the flood offered. But from that sacrifice and that blood offering that they offered back there, then they came up with the word altar. And the Bible tells us that Noah built an altar when the flood waters receded. And he came out of the ark. One of the first acts he did was to build an altar unto the Lord. And I presume tonight most of us are saved. And the Bible said we have an altar. I hope we do. There's a fellow back up in the hills, read about Balaam building seven altars, and he went out on his acreage and built him seven altars. And he said, sometimes I'm having a hard time getting a hold of God, and I go to one altar and I don't get what I need there. I move on to the next one. Said, I never have made the whole round of all seven of them without getting in touch with heaven. Hallelujah. I guess if it works, that's all that's necessary. Sometimes we need to build an altar. I've thought about a lot of altars through the years. The first summer after I was out of high school, I was in a place several hundred miles, about 400 miles from home. And I mean, the devil rose up hard against me. And I about made up my mind. If that's what this is all about, 17-year-old boy out trying to do his best for God, and I don't have to do this, I'll find something else to do. And I was ready to close and go home that night. And it so happened, the brother I was riding with in his old pickup truck, it took out on us, quit running. I mean, it had run all the way out there. We brought two, three rigs, brought the tent and chairs and everything, and it quit running on us. God had a hand in it. See, I was ready to crank up the old truck and head out that very night. And we was waiting for somebody to miss us and come back and get us. And we got to talking. We decided we better have prayer meeting before we do anything hasty. And I'll never forget it. I could still take you back to the spot, I guess. I took Sister Carolyn by and showed her the old culvert one time. The old driveway. The old culvert on the old highway. Where we had pushed the truck off in there to get it off the road. Always waiting for somebody to miss us and come back and see about us. And I knelt at one end of the culvert. And the old brother that was with me knelt at the other end. We had us a prayer meeting right down there in the bar ditch. Use the old cover for an altar right down there in that bar ditch. And God worked us over. We was both ready to head out for home. And God worked us over. And we stayed and went back to meeting the next night. And the fellow that had had all the bad things to say about us, right at the very beginning of the service, he wanted prayer. He said, the devil got into me last night and said, I never slept all night. Said, every tooth in my head ached, every bone in my body ached. Said, that devil wallered me all night long. Said, I'm going to apologize and make things right. And I want you all to pray for me that God let her take from me. And God gave us a revival in that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What if I'd let the devil whip me out and send me back home? What if I hadn't had that prayer meeting? I tell you, sometimes one prayer meeting, making one altar, will make all the difference in the world. Glory to God, that one altar that I made, that one prayer meeting that I made, Say, that turn was a turning point right there. Why, if I'd have started running from the devil, he'd have probably run me clear into the ground somewhere. Oh, but because God came down at the end of that old tin horn, the end of that old covert. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That to me, that's the sacred spot. Oh, there's been a lot of them through the years. There's a big old rock on the mountaintop in Kentucky, side of a mountain in Kentucky, where I had a lot of prayer meetings, held several revivals, and the pastor had go up there to pray, and I found out where he's going to pray, and I got to using it too, and God met me there many, many a time. There's some big old rocks down in Arkansas where I've had prayer meetings, and in the hills of Missouri and different parts of the country, an old pond bank out in Oklahoma where God met me. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the house of God. It can be out in the woods. It can be up on the mountainside. It can be out behind the barn. It can be out in the woodshed. But wherever God meets with you, wherever you meet with God, those times are vital. Those times are necessary. And without them, we can't make it. And without some elders, we'll never have revival. And without some elders, we'll never see God move. It's a very necessary item in our life. Amen. Let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Abraham was an altar builder. In fact, he got things in proper perspective. When he moved, God told him, said, you go from one end of the country to the other, and told him the dimensions that he wanted him to walk over, and everywhere you set your foot, I'll give it to you and to your children. But Abraham, God blessed him so much, he had so much stuff and was so wealthy, it was hard for him to move. And he'd find a good place where there's lots of pasture and where the wheat grew well and the crops grew well and the barley grew well, and he'd just kind of settle down. He'd just drive his roots stakes deep and secure the tent and settle down there. And God told him, I want you to keep a moving. Because if I'm going to give you this territory, I want you to step it off. Everywhere your feet step. My. Looked like he'd have spent his days just a stepping big. Why? God said, I'll get it to you. Amen. But he'd get so satisfied, he'd mess up. I'm afraid sometimes that's our problem. God blesses us, and we know that he's blessed us, and we know that he's helped us. And we get satisfied with what God's a doing for us, and satisfied with the way God's a blessed, and we fail to keep a moving, we fail to keep a reaching out, and we fail to keep pressing on, and we fail to keep pushing, and we lose our push, and we lose our pressing, and we're dissatisfied, kind of to stay put right where we are when God wants us to move on to deeper depths and higher heights. God has to send a draft by or send trouble by to get Abraham to pull up his stakes. Amen. He never did cover all the land that God told him, best I can figure out. He still fell short of it with God moving him around and God forcing him. Send a drought by, crop failure. Had to move where there's more grass, there's flocks and herds. But when he'd move, not knowing what awaited for him, when he'd move, he'd find another spot to pitch his tent. The Bible said he'd build an altar and then he pitched his tent. I mean, that's the way we ought to do it. Put God first. I mean, before we even unroll the canvas, before we even put the tent poles under, before we even drive the stakes for the tent, amen, have prayer meeting. Glory to God, build an altar. He built an altar and worshiped God, and then he pitched his tent. Glory to God. No wonder God blessed him. No wonder God talked to him. No wonder God called him a friend. Why? Because he put God first. He built his altars first, and then he pitched his tent. Amen. When God called him a friend of God.
Friend of God?
When God got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, can I do it without going over and talking it over with Abraham first, since he's my friend? Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God. It was imputed him to righteousness. He kept building altars. It wasn't because he was perfect. No. Abraham missed it and missed it again. But he built altars and worshiped God and sought God. Brother Cook used to say, every good Christian's a good repenter. And that right, Sister Faye grew up in under it. I've heard him say it over and over again. If you're a good Christian, you're a good repenter. You know how to build an altar. You know how to pray. You know how to touch God. You know how to keep things fixed with God. You know how when you made a mistake to fix it. You know how when you missed the mark to get back a hold of God and get a hold of it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down to God. Give Moses the law on the mountain. He told Moses, said, when you build an altar, I could turn back and read it in Exodus, but if you want to look it up, it's the 20th chapter of Exodus, verses 24, 25. He said, you can build it out of earth. That's how come Naaman took two mules burden worth of earth back with him when he went back home after God healed him of leprosy. He said, I want to build an altar to God. And dirt was easier to hold than 12 rocks. So he hauled two mules burden worth of dirt with him and back over to Syria at the building of an altar to God, because God had healed him of the leprosy and he wanted a place to meet with God and to worship God. Hallelujah! So he took two mules burden worth of earth back with him, because he wanted to keep a worship in the God that was able to heal him of leprosy. Glory to God. And God said, you build it out of earth. Or if you build it out of stone, you build it out of unhewn stone. Don't you lift a tool against it. I liked what somebody said the other night. Said the old brother said, God started the church the way he wanted it, and he wants it the way he started it. You build an altar, you take them rocks just like I put them out there. You don't try to work them to fit your own idea. I'm afraid too many of our altars anymore is hewn stone. We cut this off and we cut that off. And here's something over here in the Bible we don't like, so we'll cut that off. Amen. We'll get rid of that. We'll get rid of this and we'll get rid of the other. We don't like that. God said, no, sir, you leave it just like I fixed it. You leave it just like it is. You take it just like it is. Don't you try to fix this up, suit yourself. Right. Well, I think that stone would be better if it just had a little bit cut off right here. And no. God said, don't you lift a tool against the stone. You put it just like I left it. God put this book just like he wanted it. Right. Amen. Matter of fact, he said, if we add anything to it, he'll add the plagues of Egypt to us. If we take anything away from it, he'd take our name out of the book of life. We better leave it like it is. Amen. We better leave it alone, hadn't we? Take it just like it is. Take it whether it fits our little concept or idea or not. Let's go ahead and use it like God put it there. Amen. Let's build it out of stone without trying to put a tool against it. Without trying to knock a knot off here or cut an end off there or fix it some other way. Leave it like God put it. And come God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us come to him. Offer a sacrifice. We don't have to bring the lamb or the goat or the bullock anymore. But we do need to offer him that sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, praising God continually. Amen. Yeah. You know, it's awful hard to complain and praise at the same time. Yeah. Right. It's awful hard to cry up and praise at the same time. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You can't hardly backbite and praise at the same time at all. Oh. Isn't that right? The fruit of our lips, praising God. What do we have to observe? All those sacrifices they had to observe back in the Old Testament times. Before the rabbis got through with it, before the Pharisees got through with it, and everybody got through with it, they had over 1,100 sacrifices to keep track of. Some was daily, some was weekly, some was monthly, some was yearly. 1,100 of them. And if they missed a one, they're just the same as if they hadn't done a thing. Aren't you glad you live this side of Calvary? Aren't you happy that when Jesus paid the price for us at the cross of Calvary, God's Lamb, God's perfect sacrifice, and we don't have to worry about a morning offering and an evening offering and a thank offering and a peace offering and all these different things. God said, I just want you to praise me continually. And then we fall so short of it and we let other things interfere and we get down, we get the gripes and the grumps and the mully grubs and Lord, have mercy on us. After what God's done for us, Brother Virgil Bullard said, my, if you saved what God's done for you, you ought to come in the house of God walking on tiptoes, looking, reaching up toward heaven as high as you can and praising God the very best you can. Why? Because He called you out of darkness in this marvelous light. Because He set you free from the bondage of sin that you're in. Because He picked you up out of the miry clay and put your feet on a solid rock. Amen. You're so far behind praising God now. You'll never get you. And if God said for us to praise Him continually, we hadn't got any place to catch up, because we've got to go from here and keep on praising Him. Amen. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That don't leave us room for much of anything else. That don't leave much room to badmouth the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. Come on. Now, I hear folks say, oh, Brother Gerald, if I just knew what the will of God was. If you did, you probably wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because He's already got a revealed will here you're not doing.
Right.
Come on.
Come on.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God.
Well,
that's revealed will that you already know. You don't have to have a revelation for that. God's already put in black and white for you to read. And if you won't even know what you know is the will of God, won't even do that. Why should God give you any other assignments? Brother, if you was working for me and you knew what I want you to do, and I left you with some things to do,
yeah,
and I come back and you hadn't done any of that at all, wouldn't be much use of me telling you anything else I want to do.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Hallelujah.
And until we get to the point to where we can offer up a sacrifice acceptable unto God, until we get to the place that we're willing to do what we know to do already, until we're willing to measure up to what we already know God asks out of us, until we're willing to fulfill what we know God's already required out of us, why should we even expect God to lead us any farther, or give us any more, or use us any more?
You're right.
Or even bless us? Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah. How long would you keep a man in your employ if he didn't halfway even do what you left for him to do?
Yeah, right.
About to the end of the day. God's pretty merciful with us then, isn't He? To keep a bearing with us and to keep a give us another chance.
Right.
We wouldn't want to pay a man if he wouldn't work, would we?
Come on.
Hallelujah. Maybe I better not say. But a man going to walk around all day with his hands in his pockets,
look out,
and expect you to pay him good wages for doing nothing? And how much has God done for you, and how little we've come back to thank Him and to praise Him and to worship Him. Offer up a sacrifice of praise. Well, I wasn't feeling too good this morning. That's when it's a sacrifice. When it's just a flowing, and it's just a boiling up and overflowing and a pouring out, and you just can't hardly keep from throwing your hands in the air and saying, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Glory to God! It's no sacrifice then, it's overflow. But it's when everything's not going just right, and you're feeling kind of down and kind of grumpy. Things is not going too well, and you go ahead and keep a praising Him anyway, keep a thanking Him anyway. That's when it's a sacrifice. That's when it's on the altar. That's when it's a doing some good. That's when it's a thrilling God and a blessing God. David said, I bless God, the Lord of all times.
All right. Hallelujah.
Not just when I feel like blessing Him, Not just when he's blessing me. Oh, when he's blessing us, it's easy to bless him then, isn't it? But those times when things aren't going so good. Those times when the news has been bad. Those times when the enemy's pressing us. Those times when the battle's going against us. You know how to turn the battle back to the gates again? Begin to offer a sacrifice. Hallelujah. Build an altar. Get in touch with heaven. Do it God's way. I've told you again and again and again, there's a way to do it. There's a right way to do it. Build an altar with stone that's not had a tool lifted against it. Don't try to cut this out or that out or some other part out, but come according like God said to come. Hallelujah. I'd like to go back in 2 Kings, or 1 Kings rather, the 18th chapter. And you know the story so well. We'll not take time to reiterate it all, but Elijah's on Mount Carmel. And challenge the prophets of Baal, and they build an altar, and they've been got their sacrifice on the altar, and they've been all day long trying to get Baal to send some fire. And the deal was that the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Hallelujah. They had their first chance at it, and they've not had much, they've not had any, in fact, results. And verse 36 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. And it came to pass at the time of offering the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. Hallelujah. When? The time of the offering the evening sacrifice.
Right.
When I was a boy, when I was 12 years old, I believe, Dad gave me a calf. And I took over the milking. Took over milking the cows. And I learned what time of the evening sacrifice was. If you wasn't having to try to hurry to go to church, cows would be right up there in the lot by the barn waiting to be milked. And you put the feet in the trough and they'd just stick their head right in the stanchion, and we didn't even have to lock it in, you know. They'd just go to eating and let you milk them and give the milk right down. But if you're trying to get ready for church, if you had revival on, it was church night and you come in from school and trying to make it for church.
Right.
You run over to milk and they'd be clear at the back end of the pasture.
Yeah.
And they'd run every direction except toward the barn when you tried to get them up there.
Right.
And when you got them to the barn, they'd make about three circles around the barn and try to head for the back pasture again.
Yeah.
You didn't get them locked in. And you get them in the lot. You couldn't get them to get their head in the stanchion. They wasn't interested in the grain. They just turn around in the stall four or five times before you could ever get their head locked in. And then you think we just about got it made and get down and get to milking them. We didn't have milking machines. We done it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And you think everything's going good, and about that time, they'd been out in the kookaburras and their tail full of kookaburras, and pow, they'd hit you upside the head with them.
Right.
That loaded brush.
Yes.
You try to get it secured real good to where they couldn't pop it again. Hit you a cane between the knee and the leg, and they decided they didn't like that. Kerpow! Up would come that old foot just about time you got the bucket full of milk, and right in the middle of the bucket, and just slosh it all over you and all over everything.
Yeah.
Might you feel like getting up and working on them good.
Yeah, right.
But it was time to eat and sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Everything seemed like going wrong. Hey, man, I know you folks mostly live around close to the Metroplex, and it's a little different. But there's other things that hinder you when you start trying to get ready to go to the house of God. Hey, man, telephone will ring, somebody will be knocking on the door all same time, and everything will go backwards, and everything will go wrong, and you get some of the kids ready, and trying to get ready yourself, and about that time one of the little ones has been out and fell in the middle of a mud puddle and got to start all over again with him. You know the story. I mean, just one thing out of the devil hindering. Time of the evening sacrifice makes it hard for you to get around, makes it hard for you to get to church, amen, and makes it hard for you to have the victory when you do get there. If he can rob you your victory before you get to the revival, if he can rob you your blessing before you get to the house of God, if he can make so many things happen before you get there that you're out of sorts. He can keep you from receiving what you need to receive. You folks have been there, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about, time leading a sacrifice. A lot depends on how we look at things. My granddad was an optimist. My uncle was a pessimist. When Dad was a little boy, in the early days of wholeness, wholeness came to Thayer in 1909. Holy Ghost outpouring swept the country then. And they started moving out in all the little areas out around. They're holding revival meetings, and they'd be going to revival meeting. And Granddad had got an old Model T car, never did learn to drive it. He'd driven horses too long, and he'd try to drive that thing, make it fine, till he'd come to a gate or a barn door or something. He'd pull back on the steering wheel and holler, whoa, and it'd go right on through it. But Uncle Albert was old enough to drive, and it wasn't long till Dad got old enough to drive, and the boys would drive him. Grandpa, everything that hindered on the way, and back then they had the old canvas tars on the old Model T, and every sharp rock, and they had plenty of them on them roads up there in them Ozarks, and that sharp flint rock could go right through that canvas, so it was necessary always to carry a can of patching and a tar pump, and leave in plenty of time so you could fix some flats on your way to church. But night after night, they'd go out to the revival meetings, and they'd have flat tires on the way, and the old Model T, and sometimes it'd get to fouling out plugs, and they'd have to stop and pull the plugs out of the thing and clean the plugs again. And Uncle Albert would get discouraged. He's a young man. He'd say, well, maybe it wasn't the Lord's will for us to go out there tonight. And Granddad'd say, hurry up and let's get this flat fixed so we can get on out there and not be late. We're going to miss something. God's fixing to move. God's going to do something tonight. And the devil's trying to keep us out of it and trying to cause us to miss it and miss a blessing. Let's hurry up and get it fixed so we can go. It depends on how you look at it. Uncle Albert is afraid they'd miss the Lord. They wouldn't have had so much trouble, but Granddad had it figured out. Dad was trying to keep us from getting there, trying to get us out of sorts, and trying to get us in good condition. So when we do get there, we'll miss out on the blessing. Let's hurry up and get the flat fixed. Let's hurry up and get the plugs back in. Let's hurry up and get this thing working, get this thing going so we can make it on to the house of God and not be later. We're going to miss something. Hallelujah. About the time of the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Let's go back up above that though. The 30th verse. Elijah said unto the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed, and put wood on the altar, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. Do it the second time. They did a second time. Do it the third time. They did it the third time. The water ran round about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. Hallelujah. What did it say? He repaired the altar of the Lord. If we really want to see a move of God, we might ought to check our altars out and see what kind of repair they're in. There hadn't been an altar there before Jezebel's bunch took over.
Right.
There's still some stones around there. Still the old remains of where they've been an altar.
Right.
But you know what happens when there's an old rock pile left somewhere. It isn't long until all kinds of trash gets caught in it.
Right.
Folks dumped in 10 cans on it and this and that and the other until it's to be a mess. Since the cattle can't graze close around it, why, sprouts and weeds grows up in it.
Yeah.
And usually it becomes a hiding place for a lot of things.
A lot of things.
You go turn them stones over and you're liable to find a scorpion under them.
Right.
Chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
Snake.
Bye.
Possum.
Right.
Skunk. I mean, no telling what you'll find in that old rock pile.
Right.
Sometimes we need to take a stock of what all kinds of spirits trying to harbor around our altars.
You're right, preacher.
Ain't nobody like that out here, I know, but I've run across those possum spirit a few times.
Look out. Yeah.
thing that don't go here. That's why he just saws up. And then there's the little striped kitty. Grizzly bear is king of animals, they tell me, as far as continental United States is concerned. I mean, when he makes a kill, they not hardly nothing that dares to go in and feed on his kill. Except for the little striped kitty. It ain't because the grizzly bear can't handle the kitty. I mean, there's no way that little striped kitty could defend itself against that grizzly bear if he wanted to get rid of him. But because of consequences, the old grizzly bear will just back off and let that old skunk get whatever he wants of the kill, because he don't want to suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
If he handles him.
Stir a mistake. That's right. Yep.
I wonder sometimes what gets in people's altars. I know there's no spirit like that around here, but I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Amen. The old rattlesnake, I got more respect for him than half of the copperhead. He'll at least give you a little warning before he does his thing as a rule. The old copperhead just lays there in hiding and waiting till opportunity comes.
Yeah. Too close.
And the victim gets close enough, and suddenly he's buried his fangs, done his dirty work.
Right.
He built it again. The Bible don't say all this. Don't say what all was in that rock pile. But he cleaned it out.
Right.
He cleaned it out. All the debris.
Yes, sir.
All the rubbish. Nehemiah got the back over to Jerusalem. Them folks that came with him trying to build the wall. And directly they come and told him, said, Nehemiah, we got a problem over here. What's the problem? There's so much rubbish.
Too much rubbish.
We can't build a wall. There's too much rubbish. Sometimes folks can't get their altar built either because there's too much rubbish in the way.
Right.
Amen.
Come on, Bridget.
Too much rubbish has blown in. Too much rubbish has collected there. Too many things that they can't pray over. Too many things they can't pray through. Too many things they can't get past. They need to stop and have a cleaning. Amen. Nehemiah said, we've got to move this stuff. Amen. Call some folks in. Let's clean out the rubbish so we can build the wall. Glory to God. Amen. Sometimes it takes cleaning out some rubbish to have a revival. Sometimes it takes cleaning out the rubbish to get the hold of heaven. Sometimes it takes cleaning out some rubbish to get an altar built and get in a place to where we can really worship God like God wants us to worship Him. Amen. It isn't all bad stuff necessarily. It wasn't just all thorns that choked out the seed. Jesus said the cares of life. We can get so careworn. We can get so taken up with the cares of life that we choke out. Choke out the very thing God's trying to do in our life. He built it again, the altar. Cleaned out all the things that needed cleaning out. And he took 12 stones, one for each tribe. Hallelujah. You want to see the fire of God fall? You want to see a move of God? You want to get an answer from heaven? You want to see revival? One of the greatest revivals in Old Testament times broke out as a result of this man building again the altar of the Lord. Amen. One of the greatest turning arounds that ever was happened here when Ahab and Jezebel met their Waterloo, when the prophet rose up and said, let's have a showdown and see whose God we're going to serve. If God be God, then serve Him. And the God that answers the far. But how are we going to get the far? We got to get the altar built first. We got to get the sacrifice on it. You can't have the far till you've got the altar. Amen. You can't have the fire till you've got the sacrifice. You can't have the fire till you've got the wood on it. You can't have the fire till you've got the sacrifice on it. Isn't that right? First things comes first. First got to get the altar repaired. First got to get the altar built up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll not take time to go into these 12 stones, but there's a significance in every one of the names of the children of Israel. Amen. Reuben and Gad and Simon, Judah, Joseph, Ephraim, Issachar, Zebulun, Asher, Naphtali, Levi. Every one of them means something. Hallelujah. If you want to study into it sometime, get into it and find out what those 12 stones meant. Find out what was behind those 12 stones, and you'll find out that there's a way to build an altar. There's a way to get the wood and the sacrifice on it. And there's a way to touch heaven. And there's a way to approach God. And there's a way to get an answer from yonder's world. We had an altar. Oh, not like they did in Old Testament times. But it's far above and beyond. Far better. The whole book of Hebrews tells us about better things. Better things. Better things. We don't have to go get the bullock now. We don't have to go get the 12 stones now. No, not literally. Amen. Don't have to go through all that. It's a spiritual thing now. We come before God. Jesus said, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's some truth we've got to abide by. Amen. And the Spirit of God to move in our hearts and our lives. And we can't have just spirit without truth. That's where a lot of folks have gone off the deep end and missed the mark. They want spirit, 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 praise, praise, praise without a life to back it up. And sometimes because they've gone off the deep end on the praise business, we back away from it and don't worship God like we ought to when we're trying to live by the truth and trying to live by the book and trying to do what the book says. And after all of our effort and all of our expenditure of time and energy of seeking after God and of trying to follow God's ways, we still don't put the sacrifice on it after we get the altar built. Amen.
Yes.
And we miss the blessing, and we miss the power, and we miss the power after getting the sacrifice and get the altar built, because we don't approach heaven. Amen. It didn't take a great big prayer after they got everything fixed. Just a few words. A little short prayer. It don't take very much to touch heaven when everything's like it ought to be. Amen. Amen. But sometimes the events of the day, sometimes the different things that worry us and the different things that trouble us, all the pressures of life, and we live in a pressure cooker world, and all the pressures that around us and pressing against us, it's hard to get past them sometimes. But if we can get them all pushed aside, get it all laid on the altar, get it all out of the way, get everything in order, hallelujah, get our altar repaired, get it like God wants it. Get it like God said to do it. Amen. Get our lives lined up to the book. Amen. To where everything fits the pattern. And everything goes with the pattern. Hallelujah. We have an altar to eat of that they couldn't eat of that did the service of the tabernacle. Oh, they went through their rituals. And once in a while, they had sundry times and diverse manners the Spirit of God moved. But we know what it is to be redeemed. We know what it is to be washed. We know what it is to be cleansed. We know what it is to be made a new creature. We know the sanctifying fire of God that's burned out the dross. Amen. And we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. And I don't know how the devil binds us down and holds us down as much as he does when we've got so much going for us, when God's done so much for us. Amen. And put so much in our hearts and our lives. My. How can we ever sit still and not praise Him and not worship Him? He's done so much. Amen. Hallelujah. They'd go through all the ritual and ceremony, bring the sin offering every year and gather out there just listening for the sound of the bells when the high priest went behind the veil to know their sins was rolled ahead again. Oh, the shout that would go up, the joy that would go up when the high priest came out from behind the veil. God heard us again.
Now we don't have to go through all that, but we can be our own priest and come before God, come before the throne of grace, and obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. And we don't avail ourselves of it.
Right.
We don't offer the sacrifice that God did require out of us. Amen. We ought to be so glad that we don't have to go find a lamb without blemish.
Right.
That's hard to find. That's hard to find. He's talking about the red heifer that they use ashes of for the water's purification. And how hard it was to find a calf that did not have one black hair, one white hair, anything, any other color but red on its whole body. Not an eyelash or a hair in its tail or anywhere that was anything but red. Even to meet those requirements is so hard to find. And then one without a scar, without a tick bite, without a blemish of any kind on it. Oh, wouldn't it be a burden if we had to find lambs like that? Every whip stitch, every little bit to offer on the altar. If we had to find calves like that to put on the altar. You talk about a burden. You talk about hard. You talk about responsibility. And I'm so glad I live this side of Calvary. I'm so glad the perfect lamb's already been sacrificed from Calvary's cross. I'm so happy, like the Lord, that I ought to praise Him more than I do. I ought to worship Him more than I do. I ought to love Him better than I do. He's made it so easy for us.
That's right.
Yes. And see, Mike, we appreciate it so little. We'll just stand. Father, again tonight, we're thankful for Calvary's cross. We're thankful, Lord, we've got this altar to eat of. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go without the gate. Let's go a little farther. Let's go above and beyond. God, help us that we'll put forth more effort. Oh, God, that we'll bring the praise and the glory that's due to Your name. Hallelujah, that we'll give You the honor that's due to Your name. God, that we'll put forth that special effort to meet the requirement, Lord, that the power of God can come down, that the glory of God can come by, that the Spirit of the Lord can move, that the power of God can fall in our midst. In Jesus' name, we ask. You got a need tonight. You got a desire just to move in closer. Maybe need to work on our altar some. Maybe they need to get the wood in order. Get the sacrifice in order. Meet a condition before God. I'd like to see God move. I'd like to see a harvest.
Yes.
We got 3 more nights after tonight. I'd like to see God bring in some lost souls with You. I'd like to see some backsliders falling in our altars. I'd like to see some folks come to the kingdom of God. I'd like to see some cars turning off the highway and folks just come in because the Spirit of the Lord drawed them and brought them in. Amen. I haven't given up on it yet. There's still time for God to move. There's still time for God to work. But He'll only work when we get in a place for Him to work with us. Who's He going to use if He don't use us? How is He going to do it if He doesn't do it with us? Is that right? Would you like for Him to use you? Let's come. Let's come. Lord, if there's anything needs fixing in my altar, fix it tonight. Lord, if there's anything needs to be placed in order, help me to get it in order. Lord, if there's anything that I need to do, help me to do it. I want to see the fire of God. I want to see the fire of God fall. I want to see the Holy Ghost visit our neighborhood and our children and our grandchildren and our brothers and our sisters and friends and neighbors that's lost. See Holy Ghost conviction reach out. See them come to an altar prayer. See them pray through the old time salvation. See the fire of God burn.